You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
A man of high achievement and gross invention every day, Josh Nelson, whose blog is filmology.com with a PH.
Good afternoon. That's the best intro I think I've ever had on this show.
Well, it started as a compliment, then I think it actually became derogatory.
Yeah, the face is smarting from that little backhand that you followed through
great
with.
Great invention. Ouch. Look, we are going to get on to how many more films do we need with famous Hollywood actors as the vigilante male blasting people to smithereens? I'm not sure if we need more of them. We'll get on to John Wick in a moment. Keanu Reeves, what's happened to you? We'll get on to that in a moment. First, and I still have a photo of me with Keanu Reeves in a Sydney restaurant that I cherish.
So you should.
Back in the day.
Keanu still has cred.
And
he hasn't aged a day in 20 years, so you know he's still got the same face.
We know why he hasn't aged a day. The young and prodigious T.S. Spivot. Let's speak about that first. We've got a scene from it, but Josh, talk us into that scene. Set the scene for me.
Okay, well, let's talk about the scene first, and after the grab, we'll come back and talk about the film in detail. So this scene you're about to hear is an exchange between a young T.S. Spivot. He's a 10-year-old high-achieving inventor. He's come up with a perpetual motion machine.
Ah, the perpetual motion
and
machine.
And he's traipsed cross-country from Montana all the way to Washington, D.C., where he's met by the head of the Smithsonian, played by Judy Davis, who can't quite believe that the T.S. Spivot she thought she was going to meet is actually a 10-year-old boy.
So who sent me the prototype of the magnetic wheel?
I did.
Oh, what, you expect me to believe that you invented it?
Not really. I didn't invent anything. I just transposed the principle of an electron gravitating around the nucleus. But as you know, to simulate its perpetual motion would require the creation of a negative entropy, which is simply not possible. You must agree, right?
This can't be. How old are you?
10.
10.
Okay, so what is this film about?
Okay, so it's probably interesting to point out that the director of this film is Jean-Pierre Jeunet. Most people will know him, particularly from his collaborations with Marc Caro, who seems to have disappeared, Delicatessen and The City of Lost Children. Famous French director, Alien Resurrection, Micmac, Amelie seems to be a favourite of many people. So it has that very distinct visual style, like the vivid colours, the sort of the eccentric type characters. And it's really about this young boy who traipses cross-country, leaves home. Partly he's trying to cash in on this award that he's been granted, or this invention, but also running away from a tragic past. And it's suggested quite early on that his brother has died, his twin brother, although it's never explained at the beginning what the circumstances were and what's actually taken place. So the film sort of follows the genre of a road movie where he's jumping on a train from Montana and crossing the states. And in that space, in the middle of the film, he starts to try and deal with what's happened with his brother and the family relationship. The father, who's more interested in the masculine twin who's died, and he's very much the kind of nerdy scientist and takes after his mother, played by Helena Bonham Carter. And
decent cast.
Really good cast, just like wonderful looking film. I saw it in 3D, and it's one of those ones that has a very playful style. You know, it's no surprise that Jean-Pierre Jeunet is drawn to 3D given the kind of eccentricities of his visual style in earlier films. The thing that really struck me, probably that differs in this film from his earlier films, apart from the fact it's an English language film, is the drama feels really subdued, and it took me a while to get used to it. There's not a lot of energy. It's sort of plods along, not in necessarily a negative way, it's just a sort of a slow burn beginning.
But Delicatessen and Amelie, they're a little detached too, aren't they?
A little bit, yeah. But more recently with things like Micmacs, it's that fast editing, the kind of the wackiness, and there's the sort of the vibrancy. And this is, I think, because he's dealing with a character who's undergoing a sense of trauma, he's sort of subdued that drama to a degree. And I quite like that, but it took me a while to get used to it. And it was strange because I found myself getting emotionally invested in this kid's journey midway through the film. The one thing that didn't quite work for me once he gets to the Smithsonian is the film carries on, and it almost feels like it's trying to, well, I'm not sure, as I haven't read the novel that the film's adapted from, but perhaps it's a matter of fidelity, like the novel went on, so that the film tries to kind of stick to the...
So you feel like it went past its climax?
Well, it does, and I think part of that is because it uses the road movie structure and it builds up the kind of confrontation at the Smithsonian and the award ceremony, and then when it carries on, It feels like you've built up that dramatic climax and then it doesn't climax and it keeps going. And that was a little strange for me. And tonally, it almost moves into satirical elements at the end, which felt a little strange and a little bit at odds with the rest of the film. But look, just in terms of the, you know, the kid's journey, the kind of the vibrancy of the look of the film, like I really enjoyed it overall. It's okay. Got some very nice cameos. There's a cameo from Dominic Pignon, who is a longtime collaborator with Jean-Pierre Jeunet. Okay. He's the one, I guess people would call the one with the weird-looking face.
Oh, the guy with the funny face, right. Yeah. Okay, yep.
From Delicatessen and City of Lost Children.
Okay.
You know, so they're kind of joys. And, you know, it's an interesting film that and this kid, the lead actor, Kyle Callard, I think it's his first film, really carries it. And again, it's another one of these performances from a child who seems to draw on some emotional wells that are well beyond his years. Really.
Right. Yeah, they find a lot of them these days. Good. Well, kids' film?
I think so. It's strange. The audience I was in was actually, there was a couple of school groups as well. So I'm not sure if this is a text that's come up in, you know, in school syllabuses now.
Right,
or,
okay.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's nothing too out there. I mean, particularly for young adults, definitely.
Yeah.
Younger kids, maybe it's not, doesn't have the energy to kind of capture the minds of young kids. But definitely in terms of a young adult audience, absolutely.
Okay. It is the young and prodigious T.S. Spivot. And you can see it in 3D. It is about, I guess, a high achieving, overachieving even. If you can think of a film with an overachiever you dislike intensely, or an overachiever that you admire, 1300 222 774. I'll give the floor to Josh. Josh, have you got an overachiever film that comes to mind?
Well, that one that's fresh in my memory from a couple of weeks ago. It's one of your favourite films. Would you call Forrest Gump?
Ah, oh, right.
Okay. An overachiever.
He's a disliked overachiever in my book.
Well, he's an overachiever for someone with an IQ of 75.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Look, 1300 222 774 is the phone number. If you've got an overachieving,
Maybe we need to define overachiever. Someone who's stepping outside the bounds of their predestined. Oh, what about Gattaca? There's a good one.
Oh yeah, that's really difficult territory in terms of stepping outside the bounds.
Yeah, the genetic boundaries.
Stay within. Oh, and on the book, by the way, the young and prodigious T.S. Spivot, Ray in Canterbury sent a text. It's a terrific book, full of side notes and illustrations, and the story is changed slightly for effect. And it is for all ages. That's from Ray, who's obviously seen the film and has read the book. 1300 222 774 is the phone number, though. Favourite overachieving film? Someone going up above and beyond the bounds. They can be inspiring. I'd be interested in the evil overachiever category. Start thinking about all those films. I mean, Freddy Krueger, there you go, evil overachiever. I reckon the Nightmare on Elm Street films fit into that category, don't they?
Evil overachiever.
Yeah, the
that
evil
should be
overachiever. I like it. 1300 222 774 is the phone number. Shiraj is a keen movie goer. Ooh, he's caught from Knoxfield. Who's your overachieving film, Shiraj?
Galaxy Quest, the Star Trek spoof.
But hold on, which I love, but why are they overachievers?
Because they're actors and they go to save the universe.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, great, great. Tim Allen, who else?
Sigourney Weaver, there was...
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, that's right. Yes.
You can't forget him, yes.
It's a good film. I like it, Shiraj. I like it. I love that. Yeah, I like it a lot. Because I would never have put Galaxy Quest in the overachieving category, but that 100% fits in. Patrick's call from Morty Alec. Hey, Patrick.
G'day there. A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe.
Did you like that, Patrick?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's wacky at the end there, but that's just the reality of the knife edge between genius and insanity, I suppose.
Yeah, okay, Patrick. Oh, yeah. Still two minds about Beautiful Minds, the film.
What was the controversy that circled around that? Was it they sidestepped issues of his sexuality? Was that one of the controversies at the time?
Issue. I think that was the issue, yes. I think there was real issues there with fidelity to truth, which is okay. I mean,
it's a Ron Howard film.
It is a Ron.
He directed Splash, after
that's
all.
Right. A few of your texts. Aaron Brockovich. Great nomination. Tucker, The Man in His Dream. Underrated Coppola film with Jeff Bridges. Indeed, love it. Doogie Howser, MD. Yep, okay. Evil overachiever, Lord Voldemort. Indeed. Yep, that totally rates with me, 100%. And Limitless. I'm glad someone mentioned Limitless, the Bradley Cooper film where he's the novelist and he discovers the drug that turns him into an overachiever with Robert De Niro. I quite like Limitless. I don't really... It's the sort of film you shouldn't like because it's got all the trappings of a crap Hollywood Saturday night film, but there's something that appeals.
The ending of that film, though.
It's a rubbish film, but is it, you know what? Limitless is the sort of
film.
It was
really good for a point, actually. I was kind of getting into
it. Up to a point, yeah. But it's one of those, if it's on TV and you catch it,
Friday night, pizza.
Yeah, you slip into it. Like What's the Robert Redford sneakers?
Sneakers, yeah.
The Robert Redford Savannah. It's one of those. It's actually not that good, but it's like a comfortable pair of slippers.
Nice work. Yep.
Because we were talking about the young and prodigious T.S. Spivot, I was interested in your overachievers, and let me tell you, I'm loving your texts. Luke Skywalker, Farm Boy Saves Universe, absolutely. Bill Masters of Sex, the TV show, overachiever, in a sense. Overachiever, Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, a humble hobbit leaving his home to save Middle-earth. And the greatest overachiever, evil one, Ash from the Evil Dead trilogy. Yeah, okay. And the Terminator films. The machine should have killed Sarah Connor. And Arnie was clearly old technology in the last two. That's Bill's reference to Terminators 2 and 3. Okay, Josh, well, I tell you what, let's do this the other way around.
I was going
to
suggest
John
that.
Wick,
good.
Keanu Reeves, killing lots of people, basically. Is he 50 yet?
He's just turned 50.
Just turned 50. Yep. Let's have a little listen to the trailer, see if we can discern any plot whatsoever.
People keep asking if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Awesome. Violence to beats. They've taken it up a notch.
Yeah, it's that for 143 minutes.
Right, okay. 143?
No, actually, sorry, it's 103. There you go. I got carried away. But it may as well be 143. So, yeah, that's the plot of the film.
Keanu Reeves.
Did I like
people.
It? Look, actually, the plot, the entire narrative of this film is over and done with in the first 5 minutes. We have, it's not even mentioned that Keanu Reeves is an ex-assassin, one of the best of the best, you know, the usual. He's managed to get out of the game somehow. He's had a wife. The wife gets a disease, presumably cancer, and dies. And this happens in a montage in the first 30 seconds of the film. And after her funeral, John Wick, Keanu Reeves, gets home, and there's a delivery, and it's a little puppy dog and with a card attached from his wife who sent it beyond the grave saying, "I want you to go on, John. This is the hope that will keep you alive." But on the night that he gets the dog, or the night after, he gets interrupted by the son of a Russian gangster.
Of course.
Played by Alfie Allen, a.k.a. Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
They kill the dog and they steal his car. And then for the next hour and a half, he's taking his roaring rampage.
Because they kill the dog.
I killed the dog. You know, it's a cinematic sin. Look, I went to this because some people, who I won't mention now, but I feel like it, said it's actually quite a fun film.
All right.
There's a couple of sequences which are over the top, and there's a wonderful sort of sequence where he's moving through a nightclub and shooting everyone, basically, and it feels more like a sort of a first-person shooter game. But given the dialogue of this film is so ham-fisted and hard-boiled, and almost straight-faced as well, I mean, props to Keanu and Ian McShane and Willem Dafoe for being...
Is Willem Dafoe in it?
They've both got cameos, the latter two. Being able to usher their dialogue with any kind of a straight face is sort of beggar's belief. But the one thing I didn't get is if you're going to do that, and look, that's fine, the cliche B-grade sort of action film, you think you have to compensate in another area to make the film a little bit interesting, or at least, you know, if you want to make it something that we haven't seen 100 times before. And the film seems happy to stay in the kind of a safe middle ground of violence and retribution.
Bet you it's doing good box office.
Look, I'm not sure. I think this film needed a decent villain because, you know, and or at least a sense that he's a fallible assassin because you know, he's been.
Oh, he's immortal as well. He can't be harmed.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of these things where he's been this great assassin, and yet he, despite the length of time that's, you know, gone between him leaving and having the wife and the dog for a very short piece of time, nothing changes. So we never get the sense that he's working himself back into the game or that he's rusty. I mean, these are sort of character attributes that I think the film could have played with a little bit more. There's also an interesting idea.
Liam Neeson film, that would happen.
Well, it would. And
I'm too old for this.
Those
sort of lines.
Well, the trailer directly before this was Taken 3, where no one's even taken in this film because the wife gets killed in the trailer, in the opening sort of scene. And playing next door was A Walk Through the Tombstones, another Liam Neeson film in which actually someone is taken and he has to hunt them down. So you're right. What is it with 50-year-old men and the vigilante sort of aspect?
I wouldn't even bother watching it if it was free on TV.
So, look, this was a kind of disappointing experience, and I didn't feel the energy. I felt like there was potential. There's one good idea in this film, and that is...
There is one.
Yeah, halfway through the narrative, he takes refuge at like an assassin safe house. There's a hotel hotel in New York, the Continental, which is a refuge of all these other assassins, which you get a sense that he knows from his past. And I thought, that's a really great idea, this idea of, you know, like the church in Highlander. Mm, like, we can fight anywhere, but this is safe ground.
Sacred ground, Highlander.
Yeah, and yet the film doesn't really explore it. And I thought, what a kind of another missed opportunity. You've got something kind of interesting that we haven't often seen in the kind of the hardball genre, but no, it just disappears. It's another scene, and cut, print, move along.
Okay, that's very disappointing. That is John Wick or Johnny Wick?
John Wick.
John Wick. Johnny Utah is what I'm thinking
Indeed.
Of. Indeed. Johnny Utah. Next, I just want to point this out, because this is worth keeping an eye on. Maybe I'm just stupid, young, and naive, but Point Break is being remade with a great actor whose name is Edgar Ramirez. He's actually really good. I've seen him in a few things, not great films, but decent films. They're remaking Point Break. Maybe it'll be...
remaking it, but it's not a surfing film. So why would you call it Point Break?
No, no surfing.
It's like The Karate Kid, where he learns Kung Fu in the remake. Seriously.
Is there really no surfing in the Point Break remake?
It's an X Games, a series of people in X Games, like cycling and stuff. And apparently the surfing
might not even be... That might work.
But why call it Point Break?
Anyway, I'm going to give it a little bit of charity until I see it. Then we can pan it in full. I'll tell you what, I'll read some of the texts. John Wick, well, it's not The Raid 2.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
Overachiever, The Boy in Mercury Rising with Bruce Willis, who breaks the latest military code, like it. And Lord of the Rings, Sauron, survived 1,000 years inside a ring. That's very good. That's from Darren and Chuka. I like that. Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah, okay. Rocky, Election with Reese Witherspoon. I like it. The young and prodigious T.S. Spivot is the film that inspired overachievers. John Wick is the 50-year-old Keanu Reeves' latest. Hopefully he'll move on. Next it'll be like a sort of Lars von Trier, no sets, just things on the ground. Who knows? Thanks for coming in, Josh.
Cheers.
Josh Nelson, you can see him at filmology.com.